I'd like to call to order the January 28th meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. I'd like for you to please stand as Oak Ridge Wildcat Company presents our colors, and the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by a member of the Maskers Club.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Before you start, Mr. McDonald, you want to introduce our guest?
Good evening. We have a special sample for you this evening. Maskers is working very hard. In fact, they just came from rehearsal within the last couple minutes on our spring musical. This year we will be performing Annie at the high school. The show will be running March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And we wanted to provide you with a sampling of that show. So we have a couple students out. I think we're going to do three songs from our show Annie, and then after they have a chance to do that, we'll allow them to introduce themselves to you and our viewing audience.
My name is Sarah Hepler, and I'm playing Miss Hannigan.
Little girls, everywhere I turn, I can see them. Little girls, night and day, I eat, sleep, and breathe them. I'm an ordinary woman with feelings. I'd like a man to nibble on my ear, but I'll admit, no man has bit. So how come I'm the mother of the year? Little cheeks, little teeth, everything around me is little. If I wring little necks, surely I would get an acquittal. Some women are dripping with diamonds. Some women are dripping with pearls. Lucky me, lucky me, look at what I'm dripping with.
And I play Annie.
The sun'll come out tomorrow. That's your bottom dollar, that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. and stop the day that's gray and lonely. I just stick up my chin and grin and say, oh, the sun'll come out tomorrow, so you gotta hang on till tomorrow. Come what may, tomorrow, tomorrow, I love ya, tomorrow, you're always a day away. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely,
Jackson, and I'll be playing Daddy Warbucks.
I made me a fortune, that fortune made ten, been headlined and profiled again and again. Yes, something was missing, I never quite knew. That something was someone, but who? My speeches are greeted with wondrous acclaim. Had two universities bearing my name. Yes, something was missing each time I got through. That something was someone, but who? Would that someone be? How could she make it? Who would need me for me? Need me for me alone? The world was my oyster, but where was the pearl? Who'd dream I could find it? One little girl. Yes, something was missing, but dreams can come true. That something is no one but you. Who would need me for me? Need me for me alone? The world was my oyster, but where was the pearl? Who'd dream I could find it in one little girl? Yes, something was missing, but dreams do come true. That something is no one but you.
Could you all come up here for a minute? And Dr. Vaughn and Mr. Marino, you all too. Are we on camera up? That camera's on up there. Come right up here. I just like to stand by talent. It kind of makes me feel good. I'm going to go back over here and then we may have a couple of questions. Okay. So that certainly made my night. I think I can probably speak for the rest of us as well. Would you all, I know, I have a feeling, Trey, I know I've seen you on stage before, so we'll start with you. If you'd step up, tell us what other productions you've been involved in.
As far as the high school goes, I was in Joseph in the Technical Dream Code as Joseph my freshman year, and then I was Zeke / the Cowardly Lion Wizard of Oz sophomore year. And I was Marcellus Washburn and Music Man, and that's as far as the high school goes. But I've done some things at Oak Ridge Playhouse as well.
So, this an on down the road goal of yours?
It is. I'm gonna be attending Belmont University as a musical theater major for this upcoming fall.
Great.
So yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sarah Hepler, and with the high school, I was a tree in The Wizard of Oz. Everybody always laughs when you tell them you're a tree. Then last year, I was Mrs. Squires in The Music Man, and then this year, I'm Miss Hannigan. Yeah.
Hi, guys. My name's Marion. I was most recently in the musical for The Music Man. I was in the ensemble. And I was recently in Our Town that we did in the fall, and I was Rebecca Gibbs. And for the Playhouse, I've been in many productions, so yeah.
Great. Now, Mr. Marino or Dr. Vaughn, either one of you or both of you, it takes a lot of work, not just on the students' part, but if we didn't have people such as the two of you all spending countless hours, these productions would not take place. And as we look back historically at Oak Ridge High School, the Maskers organization was very vibrant, and then it kind of dipped down a little bit, we'll say. And then thanks to the two of you all and some others, we're back on high ground, I think you might say. A couple of words about some of the other people that are involved from Oak Ridge High School or outside of, I know you've got community people involved as well.
Right. The key thing is that we have a village of sponsors, and the reason why it did dip there for a little while was because it was just one person trying to do it all, and there's no way that they can. So we have a bunch of people who are doing what they love to do. And just what they love to do, and we just keep it going. We've got, I think, 7 or 8 faculty members. I might want to say most of them are math and science teachers. But we also have people in the community who also help out tremendously. So it really is, we've got about 10 or 12 adults who are helping these kids put these shows on stage.
Any questions or comments from other board members?
So when is opening night?
We have one show, March. Actually, you all may not know this, but we're performing for the elementary and the middle schools in the morning of February 28th. So we invite them to come and enjoy theater on that morning. Then on that's Thursday, Then on Friday night, we have our first showing at 7 a.m. On Saturday, we have two showings at 2 and 7. And then a very exhausted group of kids will have their final showing on Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Well, if you, those who are watching or those who are here, if you've never been, you're missing out. A great opportunity, not just from the singing voices, the acting, the musicians that take part in the production, and everything that makes it a success. And we as a board certainly appreciate you very much. Thank you for coming tonight. Next on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Stevens, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Any additions or corrections to the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, we move to special reports and presentations. First item is good news. Mr. Stevens.
I'll lead us off with Glenwood. Glenwood has been selected to receive the official Oak Ridge Arbor Day tree this year. A special planting ceremony will be held on the Glenwood Playground March the 1st of this year at 10 a.m. The silver maple will provide shade for students, teachers, and neighborhood families for years to come. Good deal.
Ms. Eagle.
From Robertsville Middle School, in the First Tech Challenge, the Robertsville Ninjaneers were first after their qualification matches at the Alabama State Championship. They were captain of their finalist alliance. They fell short on the last two matches, so they ended up in second place, but these are some incredible kids working hard, learning a lot, and succeeding.
And my good news, and you take both of, did you do the, both of the, this one? Okay. Okay, so you got both of the Rob shows. My good news comes from Oak Ridge High School. This Friday night at halftime, boys game, Mr. McDonald,
yes, sir,
at Oak Ridge High School. The jersey number 5 of T. Higgins will be retired. This will be an exciting time, not only for this young man as he comes back as a member of the national championship Clemson team, also catching a pass, a touchdown pass in that game, an outstanding athlete and student, will be honored Friday night. So if you're looking for something to do, come out and support our basketball teams and be part of these festivities. So here's a little test for the board. There have been two other jerseys that have been retired at Oak Ridge High School, football jerseys. Who wants to take a guess at who they are? Does anybody know? Jackie Pope was one of them. And you're right, Sean Summers was the other. So this will be a very special occasion. Ms. McLean.
Okay, I have more good news from Robertsville. Congratulations to seventh grader Sophie Sluss. Winner of the Robertsville Spelling Bee held on January 22nd, Sophie will move on to the regional Spelling Bee. Also, the Comcast Foundation presented a donation of $20,000 to Robertsville to help send their student design satellite into space. ORNL also provided $15,000 to purchase hardware and components of the satellite, including aluminum framework. The students can now move forward with their mission to monitor the regrowth of Canopy after the fire. The small cube-shaped satellite is named RAMSAT. And that's good news from Robertsville.
And that's just some of the good news that's taking place in our district as we speak. Yes, I'm coming. I'm gonna come back to you after we do this, if that's okay. As part of our good news, we're gonna include our volunteer recognition, because this is good news, and for those who haven't watched or haven't been in the audience, at each of our board meetings, we recognize a volunteer that has been nominated by one of our schools. At the end of the school year, the board will select one of those nominees to represent the Oak Ridge Schools in the TSBA, I'm tongue-tied tonight, East District Volunteer of the Year. And then hopefully if that person were selected there, they would go on to hopefully be selected as the State Volunteer of the Year. Our schools could not operate without the countless hours that volunteers come into each school building and put forth. The things that they are able to do within that school are tremendous. So tonight we recognize one of those volunteers from the Oak Ridge Preschool. I'm going to ask Ms. Webb to help in that presentation, and Ms. Downard, the principal of the preschool, will come on up, and our volunteers, Ms. Tonya West, if you'd come on up to the podium, please. And according to the preschool, Tony is a parent in the program there, of course. She has been an active member of our parent advisory team and policy committee. She took on the challenge of creating a school newsletter to go home to all parents on a regular basis. It is called The Puppy Chow. It has been a great asset to our school and has offered an additional means of communication between our school and the families. Tony also reorganized our school library, labeled the shelves, and provided artwork for the walls. Tonya has spent countless hours to benefit our school. She is a dedicated and valuable partner. Ms. Downard, would you like to say a couple of words?
I'd love to. You know, as we all know, the volunteers, just as you said, volunteers are so valuable to our program. And aside from the things that you've already mentioned, Tonya is also active on our health advisory team. And one of the most important things that she has ever done for us, out of all of the special things she does, she is an advocate in the community for our schools, and specifically for our preschool. One thing in particular that she did for us in the sweltering heat during the Secret City Festival, I'm pretty sure it was about 200 degrees that day, she took a bag of flyers and fans that we created with our information on them and walked around at the festival and handed things out to families who had little ones that she felt could benefit from our program. She was out there as an advocate, speaking positively about us and about our school. And to me, that is the highest form of praise for our school, and we greatly appreciate Tonya for everything that she does.
And please join me in congratulating her as our Volunteer of the Month. Thank you very much, and thank you for what you do. Now I'm going to go back to Dr. Borchers with some really just off the press breaking news, right?
This first one is, yes, if you haven't seen, I know Holly put it on Twitter, but again, we've looked at the niche awards over the last several years, and I think everyone knows that these awards come out and they look at various things, but we're very proud again to be named the 2019 number one best school district in the state of Tennessee. So I think that deserves a round of applause as well. And to give you some idea, and again, there are different entities out there that review schools and things, but your top five would be the Oak Ridge Schools, Williamson County, Maryville, Kingsport, and Greenville. So I don't think anybody would deny that that's a pretty good set of schools there, and we're very happy to be number one on top of that list. And then my last one, which I probably should have done 2 weeks ago, but we'll just have 2 weeks of recognizing our school board. But I'm going to read a proclamation for our school board appreciation week because of such an excellent board that we have here in the Oak Ridge Schools. Whereas an excellent public education system is vital to the quality of life of Tennessee's communities and to the economic development of the state, and whereas school board members represent a tremendous resource as local decision makers and diligently work to overcome the challenges of a changing world while providing students with the services and opportunities needed for a quality education, And whereas school board members strive to ensure that every student graduates high school prepared for a career and or college. And whereas school board members support and appreciate the efforts of students, educators, and administrators whose diligent efforts have led to Tennessee having the highest graduation rate on record. And whereas the men and women of our local school boards are elected by the people to make decisions most appropriate for their communities and deserve recognition and thanks for their countless hours of service to public education in Tennessee. So please, again, help me thank our wonderful Board of Education for School Board Appreciation Week.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the public forum. Public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address that topic when it is presented. If you choose to address the board, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments or may have the superintendent address your concerns. When you speak, you would please come to the podium, sign in, and then state your name and address for the board. Is there anyone here tonight that would like to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Stevens. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda say aye. 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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on down to items for action. This is the second reading of this item, which is FY19 budget transfer number 2. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of FY19 budget transfer number 2, including mid-year spending request as outlined on the attached information.
Heard the recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second. Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Mr. Stevens. Comments, Dr. Borchers?
As we shared last time, I think on page 3 of this document, you can see some of those expenditures, and a few of the ones I'll highlight would be the Cope and Associates study. I know we were at the Planning Commission just last week, and this was part of a discussion there about what this study can do for us as far as overall facilities, looking at all of our facilities and capital outlay issues, and then as well as looking at growth and things like that for capacities in our buildings. So that's a big piece of this mid-year spend. And then, of course, the upgrades for the data center, which we're going to incur anyway in this next fiscal year, so we thought we would get started for that. And the last one I'll mention is going expanding Access Oak Ridge to grade 2, and very excited about that as well.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, motion on the floor is approval of FY19 budget transfer number 2. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item B is also a second reading, board policy 3.201. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of board policy 3.201, safety.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Comments, Dr. Borchers.
As the board can see there, just the very last line where myself or designee shall provide the law enforcement agency with all safety and security plans. We were doing this in practice all along, but now since the legislator and have put this into play, that we wanted to add it to our policy.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, on second reading, board policy 3.201, school safety. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item C is also a second reading, board policy 4.701, maintaining test security. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of board policy 4.701, maintaining test security.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Webb. Comments, Dr. Borchers?
As we talked about last time, you'll see that line number two of this policy, making sure we adhere to guidelines issued by the State Department of Education. And at the bottom of there, lines 18 through 24, you're talking about security guidelines. And then the very on the second page there, we've talked about embargo data and how we share that, and that we'll have procedures to do that.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none on second reading, board policy 4.701, maintaining test security. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item D, also second. Did we just do item D?
No, we have item D is up.
Yep. Okay. My computer, one's saying one thing, and then the one I'm watching is saying something else. So that does present a problem sometimes. Okay. Item D, board policy 2.401, gifts and bequests, a second reading. Dr. Borges.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of board policy 2.401, gifts and bequests.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Mr. Stevens. Dr. Borchers.
Again, the board probably remembers that we struck the last line there in line 17 and 18. We didn't think we were being as consistent as we should, and since it's not a requirement, we thought we would strike that line.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, all those in favor approving board policy 2.401, gifts and bequests on second reading, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item E. Item E is the extension of the superintendent's contract. I would make the motion for approval or make the recommendation. So I would hear a motion made for approval of that item.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Stevens, seconded by Ms. Eagle. During the last several months, it seems like, we started back in December, we've had the opportunity to evaluate the superintendent. Board members, if they have chosen to do so, have had the opportunity to meet with the superintendent to discuss the evaluation. So after that, it now becomes incumbent upon us to decide if we want to extend the superintendent's contract. By state law, a superintendent can only be under contract for a period of 4 years. So by extending the superintendent's contract, this would add an additional year to his contract, and that would keep him at 4 years. So I'll read this just so it can be entered in. But at this time, I would give any board member an opportunity to make a comment in doing so or not doing so, or any comments in regard to this motion that you would like to make. Ms. McLean.
I can't imagine us being rated number one on the niche rating and not having a great superintendent and good leaders all the way down. So I wholeheartedly support this.
Ms. Eagle.
I am grateful for your leadership. I think that you have come in with the right things at the right times and the right attitude every single day. I don't know how you do it, but I'm so grateful for that. Thank you.
Mr. Stevens.
I will simply add, it takes a great leader to surround himself or herself with an outstanding staff, and you have done that. And we see it demonstrated week after week, month after month. So my hat's off to not only you, but also your entire staff.
And you know, I don't know, a lot of people probably don't really realize what the job of a superintendent is, I would say. It's not just attending board meetings. It's not just going out and visiting schools. It's not just attending community events and being part of the community. And I've said this before, but I will say it again, be this good or bad. When we were interviewing candidates for this position, one of the things that we said and continue to say was, when we hire whomever this person is going to be, as it turned out to be Dr. Borchers, we want him to be able to be standing in line at a grocery store and the person behind him know who he is, because we feel like that's an important part of being a leader of a school district, and you certainly have done that. As I was telling Mr. Stevens earlier, I think both you and he will owe some money at the Rotary Club after today's Oak Ridger, but that's okay too. That's a good thing. Mr. Thacker, just be glad that you don't have to pay money to the Rotary Club, I don't think. But you have certainly done that, and the conversations, and Ben, thank you for saying that about the team, because it is a team effort, and the conversations that go on in your office are not always the most pleasant ones, but they are conversations that take our school district to a means to find an end, to resolve issues, to put programs in place that provide opportunities for all of our students. And the seven keys, and I don't think we can mention that too much, but the seven keys have put our district in a place to know where we're going. Oak Ridge 2020 was the follow-up of that, to know where we're going and how we're going to get there. And I, as board chairperson, appreciate our interaction. I know one of the things that also is important to each board member is that we are never kept in the dark. Sometimes immediately, seems like even before it's ever happened, we're getting information about certain situations, both positive and sometimes things that we need to know about. So I appreciate the work that you do. Appreciate your family and your wife, who are strong supporters, and particularly your son, who had the opportunity to go through the Oak Ridge school system. So appreciate that greatly. So, any other comments from anyone else? So this would become part of the superintendent's contract. This writing is to evidence that the Oak Ridge Board of Education has resolved Dr. Bruce T. Borcher, Superintendent of Schools, has agreed that the term of the contract of employment between the Oak Ridge Board of Education of Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and Bruce T. Borcher's PhD, dated April 15th, 2013, golly, that seems, it's hard to believe it's been that long. But it has. As modified by the parties on December 11th, 2013, the contract shall, on but not before June 18th, 2019, be extended for a period of 1 year. After the effective date stated above, the contract term shall expire on June 17th, 2023, unless further modified by future agreement between the parties. All other provisions of the contract shall remain in full force in effect, resolved this 28th day of January 2019. So that is the motion on the floor. All those in favor of extending the superintendent's contract signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimous, and thank you again. And I assume you accept.
I absolutely do, and I wasn't going to make comments before the vote, but I just think I'm one of the luckiest superintendents in the country. I can't imagine a better superintendency, and you know, you can have all the dreams and vision you in the world, but if you turn around and nobody's behind you, it doesn't go very far. So to the comments of having an incredible team, many of which are sitting right here in this room, none of that gets done without just amazing staff. So I thank them, and I just think we're on a really good trajectory in this district, and I look forward to coming to work every day.
Thank you very much. Moving on, item F. 2020-2021 district school calendar. Dr. Borchers.
Speaking of great people surrounding you, I'll let Mr. Lay describe this process and provide any input you'd like, Mr. Lay.
All right, and we did this similar to years past. Each school had a representative, and we met Basically, the representatives went back to their school, basically asked questions. What are you looking for in a calendar? They brought those questions back. We created a survey, sent the survey out, and then basically calendar option A included every option that the survey supported that staff wanted. Basically, the only difference in option A and option B was option B had 3 less student days per year than option A. And you can see the vote is getting closer. We were at 45% for option B and 55% for option A, and option A is the recommendation to the board.
Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Mr. Stevens. As I look at this, and I'm going to, I'll say off the bat, I'm going to support the recommendation. I have to think, and I hope we'll continue considering that option, option B. From my standpoint, I think it's a viable option, and a teacher might say, well, you're not a staff member, so you might look at it different, but I have been. And I think it does a couple of things. Option B, I'm speaking of, does a couple of things. It takes away some of the type of compression we see at the end of the school year after testing has already been completed, where young minds can drift to other things once they know that the tests that they're taking have been completed. I think that helps that a little bit. It gives, and I've always been, and I know our staff is great about doing this, but I think it gives staff members an option to get plugged into some other areas that they might not otherwise be plugged into, to earn the necessary hours to make up for that difference and still get paid the same amount of money for the 180 days. So I hope we will continue to look at that as a viable option. I know it's close, but I will support the vote of the teaching staff, and I will support that recommendation with those caveats.
Okay, and we appreciate that. And, you know, and I'll just brag on the committee. We did a much better this year discussing option B and basically addressing the questions people had. And as you can see by the vote, the popularity of option B did increase greatly from last year. So we will definitely continue that conversation.
Ms. McLean.
I looked at this a couple weeks ago, and I looked at it again today. And option A, the kids come back on Tuesday after Memorial Day for a half a day. And then they're done. I was wondering, could we go to school on Good Friday, and then school could be out the Friday before Memorial Day, and then we would be done? Had we thought about that?
We have discussed several options to get students out prior to Memorial Day. Good Friday was not an option, and because of it being associated with a religious holiday, we have chosen not to affect Good Friday because several people are involved in activities with their churches and or other religious-based groups.
So on that same line, we come back for a half a day on that Monday. Why?
To fulfill our 183 student day calendar.
I mean, let's be honest, that's ridiculous, in my opinion. I mean, we're going to be off after a 3-day weekend, and we're going to come back a half a day. Is there not some way we can figure out to make, I'd rather say, let's stay for a whole day on Wednesday, as opposed to coming back that day. Could we do that? No? I'd almost come a half a day on Saturday. I mean, I'm just with you. I saw that and I'm thinking,
I think our attendance on that day is going to be woefully small.
And will we be penalized? Will that count as a day where we have, you know, 50% of the kids? Will that hurt our attendance rate?
We have recently had a conversation that there's some things that we're not doing. Well, first, let me go back. I don't necessarily disagree with you, okay? Now, that is a day of celebration at most schools, and yes, students will come back for the celebrations and the fun. But we could have had a similar day on Friday prior to Memorial Day. I get that. But we are looking at taking, you know, we go 3 days beyond what is expected by the Tennessee Department of Education. And we do have the option to ask for waivers that days with low attendance would not count on those 3 days. We're also looking at the option, you know, there's days we elect to go to school when weather is a concern and everyone is out around us and our attendance is low. We have similar days when there are high percentages of flu or similar viruses, we continue to have school. So we're going to explore our options this year on days such as that, exploring our option of basically not counting that day against our attendance, because other systems are not. When they close school for 10 days because of sickness or the weather, those were 10 days that their attendance is not counting against them. There's times that we're running, we know, a 75-78% student attendance rate. And once again, we feel we're doing the right thing by having school, but it's killing our attendance. So we're going to see if we can't get, what's the proper term? Is it waiver on those days? Or? Yes. So we're going to ask that those days be waived, and that's something we will study throughout the year. The perfect example would have been when we had the eclipse day. We had, once again, a lot of students had the benefit, the privilege of observing the eclipse, and it was a beautiful day. But at the same time, we had low attendance that day. So that was one day that we removed from our attendance because it would have hurt our attendance. So we're going to be more proactive in going that direction this year.
And I do agree. And I hope I don't look like I'm not being serious about this, but I am. But and I know that last day is a special day for each school in many different ways, and that is important too. But it still would make more sense to have it that Friday than it would on that Monday. And I realize we've got some time before this calendar goes into effect, and I know the board can always come back and amend the calendar if we choose to do that. And I would hope if we approve this calendar as it is that we can take a look at trying to figure out something to do so the last day could be that Friday before Memorial Day.
It is my understanding, even if we approve the calendar tonight, we do have time to edit that calendar. You know, there's time to do that. But, you know, and we really thought looking at the, because of the holiday, you know, some of us were of the opinion this was the year to pass option B because staff and students both would be out before the holiday, which really just makes sense. So anyway, but once again, you can tell that the vote's close, but it didn't happen. So.
Ms. Webb.
So on the days, if they had to do the 3 extra days, when you read it, it sounds like they have to do extra time on a vacation day, correct? For those 3 extra, to get the extra hours?
We were saying to maintain compliance with the contract, they would have to earn their time on a non-contract day, which in essence is a day off, not necessarily a vacation day, but it's a non-school day. And, you know, and I'll go back to what the committee and I have worked on. This just shows me that we have another year to do a better job listening and a better job of communicating our options. And to me, it would make sense if we decided, what, this is 2020, 2021. So if 2021, 2022 were to become a 180-day contract or student day calendar, and then I would assume we would go back and look at this one and see if we couldn't make that adjustment. So we do have options. But it's clear that we still have work to do to get a majority of the staff in favor of going that direction. And to be completely honest, I'm not necessarily hearing that the issue is with cutting the 3 days. It's how those 3 days were made up. So.
So could they get their 3 days credit by doing after school activities like a ski club or math club or tutoring, where I know we used to pay that with extended contracts, but I don't think there's extended contract money out there.
That was not communicated as an option at this time because we kept it to, once again, you had to earn the time on a non-contract day. I am very confident if we allow that time to be earned on a contract day after hours, then I'm very confident that option B would be the winning calendar.
So the debate question for future is, when I would, if I were that person, I'd say, well, when does my contract day end?
Good question.
I just think that, you know, and I think we're looking at this to figure out a way to do what's best for the time that we have our students in our buildings. And that's the whole point of this. When they leave our buildings for the summer and when they come back, when our staff reports and when our staff leaves for the summer break, and at the same time, even though the testing period ends in a, I call it a significant amount of time before the end of school year, that does present an opportunity for additional learning activities to take place. That doesn't mean we shut down learning by any means. And I understand that, but I just think if we're looking at this, we've got to look at the entire avenue of what we're doing and not having little nuances like a half a day in an unparticularly unsatisfactory place crop in there.
I understand, sir.
Okay. Other comments or questions? Motion is approval of the 2020-2021 district school calendar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item G, Head Start Community Assessment Update. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the 2018-19 Head Start Community Assessment Update.
Further recommendation from the superintendent, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Webb. Dr. Borchers.
I'm sure the board has seen the document and just the breadth of information and data collected, and then I'll point to you, we do have Lisa here if you have further questions, but on page one you can see those five goals that have come out of the collection of all of this data.
Comments or questions from the board? I have a question about number five, which is to seek out transportation resources throughout the county in order to assist families in assessing resources to meet the family needs. Pull that out a little bit more for me.
One thing to keep in mind is this assessment is done in collaboration with Anderson County. It's a whole grantee effort rather than just specific to our program. And they don't have transportation at all for their program. We have it at least from home or from school to home in the afternoon. And we definitely know that transportation is an issue for the parents within our own community and then especially at the larger county level. So it's just to look at some options, some possibilities for how else could they provide transportation for students, because we're not allowed to transport other than something like what we do through the buses. So it was really probably more specific for the county as a whole, but if there was ever opportunity with funding, we would definitely want to pursue being able to provide additional to what we do already also.
Other questions while she's there? Thank you. Motion then is approval of the 2018-2019 Head Start Community Assessment Update. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. opposed? Motion carries unanimously. All right. Items for information. Financial report. Any questions there? Hearing none. Items for discussion. Two items we have listed there. As you know, the board has had some conversation in regard to the ACT suite testing, which is being discussed not just in our district, but in many districts. And I know probably at Tulsa, there's probably been some discussion there as well. And the Tennessee School Board Association is continuing to have discussion on that and how to support that and move forward or not move forward with it. The vouchers, as we know, with the newly elect governor and the newly appointed commissioner, both have spoken in favor of a voucher program. Now, what a voucher program means at this point, we really don't know specifically, but we'll be finding out as the legislature continues to deal with bills that are submitted in this area. So for the board, what we need to decide to do is, do we want to take a step forward in putting together a resolution adopting our stand on support of or lack of support of for vouchers, and taking a stand on our recommendation as far as using the ACT suite testing to replace, and I might get, yes, to give us a little update and some information on that, if you would, on the ACT suite testing. So if we want to move forward, we've got some examples of resolutions that we could use and present for those purposes with some modifications. And then we would submit those to Tennessee School Board Association and to our members of the legislature, not just necessarily those that represent our district, but those who represent others, particularly those who may be on the opposite side of what we take. So board members, it is a discussion, and get us a direction of what we want to do. Comments from any board members first?
Well, this was one that I brought up a couple of weeks ago after seeing a newspaper article from Middle Tennessee that another high-performing district has actually voted on a resolution. And it appeared from the article that their intent is to ask for a private act for themselves that would allow their system to switch and use the ACT suite instead of 10 Ready or whatever state test is of the moment. This spurred a question: do we want to look at that? Now, we have, in the last couple of years, TSBA has requested of the legislature for them to pass permissive legislation that would allow school districts to choose, not force anyone to switch, but allow those who choose to switch to use the ACT or SAT suite instead, something that would be nationally recognized. We already know that it aligns with our standards because everybody in the state accepts the ACT as meeting the standard that we want to meet. Well, the ACT suite builds toward that. So we know that that does incorporate what we would like to do. There are some systems that are reluctant to switch to that because they feel like it would be harder. I don't know that I believe that. I think that our students would do fine with that test because we know that we're building toward the ACT. That's what our teachers are doing already. They're building toward that, putting together all those blocks. And I would encourage my fellow board members to give this some serious thought. Now, there may be reasons not to. I still think that we would be wise to encourage the legislature to pass permissive legislation that would allow it, should we decide that this is the right way to go.
And the Tennessee School Board Association's stand on that is exactly what you just said, to not to say this is what we're going to do, but to allow that decision to be made within the district. Dr. Beckendorf, you want to jump in here with any comments?
Sure, I'd love to. Sorry, my voice is a little scratchy this evening. I think overall, having the ability to consider the ACT suite as a possibility would be, in the long term, a good idea for our school district. We already have the ACT on our Keys to College and Career Readiness in Key 4 and Key 5, and it's kind of embedded within Key 7 in that oftentimes how students perform on the ACT suite allows students to participate in things like dual enrollment. So ACT is something that's very important in our district. I do think that it's something that would take some time to transition to. I definitely want to make sure that as we enter into testing season right now, that we maintain the focus and the attention on the TN Ready, and that we make sure our community understands that we are maintaining our focus and our attention on the TN Ready, because we don't want people to neglect how we're being judged right now. And that work can only help us do better in the future also. So very important for us to continue to maintain our focus on what we're doing now, but to transition to an ACT suite, if that were permitted in the future, there's some things we would need to do. We would need to adjust our pacing. We would need to really think about what we're doing with eighth grade, because we're doing the Aspire now in the fall, even though it's normed for the spring to use as part of high school registration, so we'd have to deal with that. We'd have to deal with funding. Like, there are a lot of little things we'd have to deal with, so I think it would probably be good to have a transition year if we were allowed to move in that direction. That said, I think we have maintained since we've had the keys that the ACT makes sense as a long-term strategy. It aligns directly with what we're doing.
Another piece in that puzzle, so to speak, is we really don't know at this time what the commissioner is going to propose as far as state testing is concerned, whether they stay with 10 ready as it is or what they're going to do. What, am I correct in saying that?
Right. I think they would have to change some laws if they were to move from 10 ready. So right now, I think we're moving in business as usual until we're told otherwise. But what they choose to do later is anyone's guess.
Dr. Borchers.
I was going to say that is going to be her first charge as TN Ready, so we really don't know what she's going to do. For all we know, she could recommend ACT and those types of changes. But I think, as Dr. Beckner and I have talked, I think it was probably 2 years ago, we were on a conference call with the former commissioner asking for this very thing. So I think you have folks that support that. But I think what we wanted to get across to the board tonight is there's a lot of details that we don't have to get into tonight. But if it is the charge of the board to move forward with such a resolution, we could work together and make that happen. But there's a lot of things, and it will take some time to make that transition in order to do it well by our staff, the professional development, the pacing Dr. Beckendorf was talking about. We want to make sure we're doing that well. And there's always the bounce back. We have a new commissioner, so the fear is you leave something. We're getting good at this now. We're embedded. We've got this down. We change to something else, and then there's that fear of, okay, when's the next change coming? But, we can talk about that all day long, but I think we do support the ACT. I think we've done that for a long time, and that's been a major achievement mark for our district for a long time. But it will take some time, and I think that's our only caution in this process.
And I think we realize that too. I mean, this is, if this is a potential, kind of back to the calendar, if this is a potential to make things better, then we ought to take a look at it and see if it will do that, understanding that it will take some time to adjust to it.
It would, and a lot of questions are in the air, and Dr. Borges told me not to get too in the weeds, so I'll try not to. But there are a lot of things in the Tennessee state standards that aren't specifically addressed by the ACT suite. So some states have ACT suite and something else in order to fulfill that. We definitely saw that with writing in the eighth grade ACT Aspire. We stopped doing the ACT writing assessment because it didn't align well. So there are a lot of things like that we would have to go through. So as long as we understand that, yes, we support the ACT, and we would need a good deal of transition time in making sure that we're fulfilling everything we're supposed to fulfill, if the legislature allows us the option. But we, as Dr. Borges said, we tried to make this case a few years ago, and we got shot down. But so we definitely like the idea of opening up the possibility.
Stepping to the other side, I think we're quite confident that there will be a voucher bill in the legislature this year. In fact, I know there's one that's already been submitted, and there'll be more, particularly some coming from outside groups from the state of Tennessee that are coming in hoping to push some type of voucher legislation. So, and I'm just throwing this out to the board for your thoughts. So would it be more appropriate for us at this point in time to go ahead and put together a voucher bill, assuming we come to a consensus of what the board wants to say in that voucher bill? We're going to be in Nashville February 17th, a good opportunity, and it's my understanding now the commissioner is going to come then to that meeting. It's not confirmed. I don't want to get out of step here, but they're working on getting her to come. Don't know whether there'll be any time for any questions and answers, but maybe we can kind of push that a little bit and find out. But obviously an opportunity to talk to our legislative people, an opportunity to talk to other boards that are there to see where they are with this. I think obviously if this is something we'd want to see on the ACT, I'm talking about now, something we would want to pursue on down the road, we as Oak Ridge District could not do it alone. We obviously would have to have others that are going to walk with us on this trip. So I think that would kind of be a thought process. If we can come to a consensus on vouchers, I'd like to get that underway and get a resolution presented and get that moving if we can do that. So that's kind of my thoughts. Whatever, anybody else want to comment, either or? Tracy?
Just a quick comment about vouchers. One thing that I don't think is well understood is that we already have federal program partnerships with private schools across the state of Tennessee. So for example, we consider St. Mary's in many ways our private school partner. So St. Mary's, we meet with St. Mary's every year and we say, St. Mary's, are you interested in participating in these various federal programs? And they say yes or no, depending upon what federal program it is. So let's say they say yes to Title III, which is for English learners. So when they say yes, and then we provide them, the money comes from us, but it's a federal program, we provide St. Mary's funding to help support their English learner program. But that comes with strings attached. And that's already happening. It's happening with Title II, professional development, Title III, English learners, Title IV. In our district, less with Title I, but in some districts that may be the case. But there are always strings attached. And so as we walk down the road towards vouchers and the possibility of them, it's really important to ask the questions about what strings are attached, what does that look like? Because I think right now we don't have a clear conception, but we do have a an already existing kind of partnership with federal money, and so I would be wondering, would they be doing something similar with vouchers?
And that may be the million-dollar question. Who knows? I mean, there's probably, I think we'll probably see 6 to 7 different voucher bills with all different ideas of how they should be proposed. Maybe like you've spoken to, it may be simply said, we're going to provide X amount of dollars and your child can go to whatever school they want to. I think we wait and see. But I think we've got to be ready not to come at the 11th hour and say, well, gosh, we should have done something. We've got to start now already. And we have, even in the past years, we've expressed our opinions as a board. And we obviously can be more detailed once we find out what the details are on what we support. So comments or thoughts from the board?
I think we need to use Tracy to help us with whatever language we decide we want to come up with, because I think she's well-versed in this. But if we somehow could tie our plan, if we're going to support any kind of voucher program, have it similar to what we're currently doing with the federal, so there's some local oversight, that seems like a wise way for us to deal with vouchers.
Not to assign you any additional work, but I'm glad to see your pencil moving on that pad right there. Would you be willing to take a look at the voucher issue and put together something for us in the next 30 minutes?
Not in 30 minutes, but I would like to know, I would like a little direction from the board, though, in that there are a lot of ways to do this. So are we coming across as no to vouchers, yes if vouchers, yes vouchers? How would you like me to target that?
Anyone want to comment before I do? I don't want to.
Well, I can't speak for the board because I haven't asked everyone else how they feel. My personal feeling is that vouchers would be acceptable if and only if the playing field is completely level. Either the schools receiving the vouchers have to abide by all of the same rules that we do, or the rules that they don't have to abide by are removed from us. If the goal is you want to offer children an opportunity to go to a better school, what makes the private school better? Is it that they don't have to do certain things? Well, maybe if they remove that requirement from us, we would be better. Or if they're going to receive the funding that currently goes to public schools, they should have to follow the same rules as the public schools. It's just my opinion. Others may differ.
No, I agree with that. You know, one of the things, too, that, and this is one example, and we could talk about this, and we will continue talking about it, but I was talking to a board member in another district, and this was a good point that said, and you've heard the governor speak to this already, looking at the rural areas that maybe don't have some of the benefits as the larger urban areas do. And he said, well, great, you've got a person that lives in this rural area and they want to send them to Williamson County High School. How are they going to get there? I mean, I've never heard anybody ask that question. Are they going to make the bus drive? Father and our buses have to go to Pinnacle out there to pick up people. They don't talk about that. The conversation is simply, it seems like, well, you want to give every kid an equal opportunity for a great education. I don't think there's anybody that's against that. But they don't seem to look at all of the other things that go with that, from not only a transportation issue, but what about kids that have physical handicaps or things like that? How's that going to follow them along the way? Nobody talks about that. So I think Angie, I would agree with exactly what she said. I think we look at things a lot better if we have an equal playing field for everybody. So, Ben?
I'll say this. This is a, it is, it has been, and I expect it to be a political football. I think what we need to have first is make sure everybody understands the language that's used typically in the voucher salesmanship game, so that regardless of how they shuffle the deck to suit this or that or the other, all of us have a baseline understanding of what is the generic voucher program. Whether we agree or disagree, we want to make sure that we're all understanding and looking at whatever's presented for what it is, and we're all operating from the same basic standard of understanding. I think that's paramount, first and foremost. I won't presuppose what they're going to put out, and I caution us to watch that also, because you'll just open the door for unnecessary blowback that you've already made your mind up regardless of what they present, da-da-da-da-da. And for every parent out there, yes, being a parent, I understand you want the best and those kinds of things. And we'll look at the facts for what they are and make my determination pro or con based on what's presented by the state, their representatives. And we as a board can have a serious conversation about what's being presented. But I just want to caution us about jumping too far ahead. As one man told me once, if you get too far ahead, they can't tell you from the enemy, and you're subject to get shot from behind. So let's make sure we're on a common base. And then as the state begins to shed some light on the direction they're going, then we can speak to those kinds of things in earnest. But I think a good solid baseline of understanding of what is the typical voucher type of programs, and you know, the states have had this going back and forth for years and years, so I'm certain we've got plenty of examples to draw from. So, my thought.
Oh, that's your points well made, and that's you know, we don't know yet where the state's going to go. I just don't want us to get caught behind. I want us to be ready to be proactive. So, if you can put together some thoughts for us that we would help us go through that process, and we can gather information, then we'll be able to do that effectively. Okay, everybody good with there? All right. Old business, new business, communications. As mentioned, some of the board will be attending Day on the Hill on February the 17th. We have a 9 o'clock appointment with Representative Reagan and a 9:30 appointment with Lieutenant Governor McNally, among the other things that will be going on. This Wednesday, the board will have a visit to Woodland at 7:45. I'll be hosting Focus on Education on the 6th of February. On February the 25th will be our next board meeting, and at that meeting we'll have three board members here, one board member from Cleveland City School Board and two board members from Clinton City that will be evaluating our board as part of the process for Board of Distinction. So we'll be doing that on that night. Also, on the week of February the 25th, that entire week, Glenwood will be hosting their Living Museum, and I encourage you to get there at least on one of those days. It'll be worth your time. It's pretty exciting to see what those kids come up with at that time. Truancy meeting this month, in or February. I know we've still got a little bit of January. Last Friday in February. Any other announcements or anything from the board? I would encourage the citizens that are watching and will be reading. Our community begins a very important process, has already begun that process, and that's the budget hearings and determining a budget for the operation of our school system and our city. I encourage our citizens to learn as much as you can about how our schools and our city is financed, what goes into making a community have the items that you enjoy, what goes into making or help making our school be put in a position to receive awards of the top school district in the state. It does take money to provide the needs for our students. It does take money to provide buildings that hold our students, that are buildings that are a learning environment. It does provide money to provide outstanding administrators and teachers. So I encourage you not to wait till the last minute to learn as much as you can and be prepared, as the board will be looking at options for funding for our school district and for money to help provide the needs for our aging facilities. Mr. Lay.
That truancy meeting will actually be on Friday, March the 1st.
Friday, March the 1st?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. And we will follow up on that, and I will check next week again to see if that's the meeting. I anticipate that Judge Hunt will be attending, unless you've already heard something from him.
I have not heard from them, but we did have a representative from juvenile court that was in our meeting this past Friday. Her name slips my mind, but anyway, but we did have a representative, but I'm assuming the judge will be there this next meeting. So.
Great. Any other information from the board? Thank each of you. Thank you for being here. Thanks for watching. We're adjourned.